listening to the Swim Out Podcast, a show about the wonderful world of outdoor swimming.
Hello, Mikey.
Hello, Vicky.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to this edition of the Swim Out Podcast, where we'll be talking all about swimming to make yourself happier. In this episode, we hear from Jamie from Blue Mind Men about how swimming makes him feel.
But I can't not smile talking about it now. It's that feeling is just so amazing of almost resetting your body. It's like a real cleanse. And I always have like a bit of a real moment, especially putting my head under the water, because that kind of cleansing feeling of just like, it's like you're washing from the inside out.
Jill, who is swimming the English Channel, tells us how proud she is of her body.
I'm not ashamed to have a stoma bag. I'm not ashamed of my body. I'm not ashamed that this is what's happened to me as a result of having a baby. I don't think any of us should be ashamed of our body, no matter what we look like, because our bodies are still capable of doing incredible things.
The swimsuit makers' usual objections explain what might happen to your old costume in the future.
And there's more and more companies that are getting really close to being able to truly recycle, not in a greenwashing way, but, you know, like where you put your swimsuit in a box and you can get another swimsuit back out effectively.
And we speak to the wild woman of the Wye about the river she swims in and how it is really struggling due to terrible pollution.
I was feeling like bereaved because I was losing my river. And I wanted to bring attention, so I got hold of a coffin and I towed a coffin down the Wye.
And we hear from you, our lovely listeners, about why swimming makes you happier.
Quick reminder to you all, give us some likes and feedback, please, on your podcast provider's app. Good ratings give our podcast a higher profile, which means more people will get to listen to us. Now, this episode came about because Amy Ennion, also known as Amy Swims, got in touch with us to discuss body image and body confidence after listening to the interview with Kath Pendleton, where we discussed how we don't look like swimmers. Welcome to Swim Out, Amy.
Thank you so much. Hello, Mikey, and hello, Vicky.
So Amy is someone I've long followed on Instagram, where she is Amy.swims. Her bio states that she is a self-taught ultramarathon swimmer, and she offers lots of information about her training, which I always check, and it's super interesting. She's an ex-GB water polo player who's turned her hand to open water, swimming the Channel in 2021, and then in the same year was the first person to swim the 31 miles from Guernsey to France. Tell us a bit about that swim, Amy.
Yeah, I was the first person to swim between Guernsey in the Channel Islands and France. It's about a 1.3 times the English Channel distance. It had been completed by a six-person relay before and attempted by a Guernsey native before, but no one had ever completed it. And I thought I'm never going to be the fastest to do something. So I wanted to try my hand at being the first. And with a lot of help from my crew and the pilot, I was in 2021.
And you're training now for a solo of Lake Geneva, which is 70K. How are you feeling about that swim?
I am feeling very nervous about it. So as the point where we're recording this episode, that swim is in exactly 1 month and 2 days' time. So I have about two more weeks of big swims and big training weeks to go, and then I will start my taper. And, you know, it's all about trusting your training and trusting that you'll be ready, putting your trust in the hands of your crew. But good grief, 70K. I am nervous about it.
Wish you so much luck with that. But you have been doing a lot of training because I have been watching. So I thought it would be good to kick the episode off by discussing how we feel about our bodies and how swimming makes us feel. Amy, tell me what was behind you getting in touch with me.
Yeah, so as you said, I heard that that little throwaway in the interview with Kath Pendleton where you both said, oh, we don't look like swimmers, but... And it was so reminiscent of what I've spent quite a long time trying to train myself out of, because that's not what I would want a younger me to hear. I would want a younger me to hear, I am a swimmer, and so this is what a swimmer looks like. I go swimming and I love swimming. Swimming makes me happy. Swimming makes me feel confident about my body. And because this is the body that goes swimming, this is what a swimmer looks like. So I wanted to get in touch and have that discussion about whether that rings true for both of yourselves.
Yes, for me, I think it really does, actually. That, I mean, it sort of makes me chuckle to myself sometimes when I'm in the gym and there's lots of, you know, sort of people pumping iron and stuff. And I think you probably have no idea what I do. And I'm so proud of what my body will does and will do. How about you, Mikey?
Yeah, I mean, I love swimming, and it's really is my happy place when I'm in the water. And it's funny you should say that. About when I went home to Cumbria a while back, my brother looked at me and went, "So not training then?" and I thought, because what? Because I don't look skinny. When I was a dancer, I was skinny. But, you know, I said, yes, I'm training, and this body gets me to France. How many solo swimmers do you know that can swim the Channel? So, I mean, yeah, I totally agree with what perception and reality is when we get in the water and what we can do. And I have a number of people that feel exactly the same.
I would say my Guernsey swim is a really good example of that. Is, you know, I look back on photos from when I started swimming. I was quite slim, which, as an aside, is such a shame, because I remember taking the photos and remember thinking that I was so fat and so ugly. And I put on so much weight for my Guernsey swim, because it ended up being 16 hours at 13 degrees. No one skinny would have been able to do that. I wouldn't have been able, you know, previous me wouldn't have been able to do that. The body I have now is the body that set that course record that no other man and no other woman could do.
Amy, does swimming make you happier?
Yes, yes. Like Mikey said at the beginning, swimming is my safe space. Swimming is what keeps my mental health on an even keel. I started open water swimming when I was going through huge periods of upheaval in my life. My late father was getting towards the end of his life. A very, very stable and long-term relationship had suddenly come crashing to an end. And the swimming was stability and happiness and joy and freedom and peace for me. And even though I'm in a much better place now, it still brings me that peacefulness, that freedom, the weightlessness of being.
Weightlessness, that's definitely a feeling that I have in the water that really resonates with me.
I think it's also mindfulness. Before mindfulness was mindfulness, if you know what I mean. I think you get in and all you can think about is just being in the water and swimming and the strokes and the kind of metronome of what you do. You know, we keep our same, we all have our stroke rate and we keep going at that, and you take your breath and you keep going, and really it's almost hypnotic, isn't it? And it's just a time to be all for you, nobody else, your stroke, your swim, your place. Yeah, I love it for that.
And equally, no distractions, or all for you, your time, your place. No buzzing, no notifications, no seeing that Hoover in the corner of the room where you really probably should have done your chores this weekend. All there is to concentrate on is yourself, your mind, your body, and the water around you.
And the odd jellyfish.
Oh, jellyfish.
Well, I'm just going to throw in one question for you, Mikey, actually. You started your career as a dancer, didn't you? When your size must have been such a big issue. You're one of the most resilient cold people that I know. Is that affected if you lose weight, Mikey?
Well, I haven't lost that much since I started, to be honest, for the comparison. But yeah, my weight does go up and down, and that is to do with my mental state a lot of the time. But I think I'm happier out of the water, slimmer, just you know, and like you said, Amy, earlier, I look at pictures and think, oh, you should have been happier then because you're bigger now type thing. And I almost tell myself off a little bit for just trying. And I tell myself off now to say you live in the moment because in 10 years time you'll be bigger and you should just enjoy the now. So I think in answer to your question, I'm not making it an issue. I know what I like and what I don't like, and sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, and all of the factors in my life. But just when I get in the water, it really doesn't matter my size. And like you say, I don't really get cold, which is odd, I know, but I think I've shivered twice in the 7 years I've done it. I know, it's crazy.
If you're on the beach with Mikey, you really want to try and get him to give you a cuddle and warm you up. Thank you for debating with us, Amy. And continuing on this theme, you spoke to someone whose situation makes it hard for her to simply jump in and enjoy a swim. Please tell us about the next guest.
Yes, absolutely. So I spoke to Jill Castle, who is a swimmer based in the northeast of England, and she's training to swim the English Channel later this summer, but with an added twist. So I started by asking her about her additional challenge and what that means for her during her training.
I have a permanent colostomy, which is a type of stoma. For people who don't know what a stoma is essentially where a section of your bowel is brought out of your abdomen through a hole that's cut into your abdomen about the size of a 50 pence piece. Your bowel's cut into and part of it is brought out onto your abdomen. The bit of your bowel that's still out on your abdomen is called the stoma. And through that stoma comes your waist. And for me, I don't know if I'm allowed to say this word because sometimes I'm not allowed to say it, but so out of this stoma comes poo, and that goes into a stoma bag which is attached onto your abdomen. I've had my stoma for 12 years, and I've got mine as a result of having a baby. Went a little bit wrong. My son's now 12 and absolutely fine, nearly 12, should I say. And yeah, so my colostomy is actually the large intestine that's been brought out onto my abdomen. And yeah, it's well, I'm sure we'll come into it, but having a stoma and swimming are two things that some people think don't necessarily go hand in hand, but like it's sort of my life's aim to show that they can.
So when you first had the stoma, how did you feel about that? That must have been such a traumatic event for you. How did that kind of change your relationship with your body?
I think because I had my stoma 5 days after the birth of my baby, I was already in a body that I didn't recognise from what I'd had a year previously. So to be honest, the fact that I then also had a stoma on top of baby weight, and I had a lot of physical problems as a result of the birth. I had a really severe tear and infected fistula and lots of other things going on. It was kind of all part and parcel of it, but I think the stoma in particular, I didn't actually have a bath for about 3 years because I didn't want to lie in the bath and look at my stoma bag. I took to the water really, really early because my son had been signed up to water babies before he was even born. And my husband's a diver and I've always loved swimming. So I was adamant that I was still going to get in the water with him. But that's all I did. I just went in and bobbed about.
So when did you start to go from, you know, spending that time just being in the water with your son to swimming again?
So the first 5 years, I just kind of accepted the fact I had a stoma, wrapped myself in cotton wool, didn't really do anything physically strenuous because I didn't think that I was able to do that, and I didn't really think it was recommended with a stoma. Then after 5 years, I decided that I was going to embrace having a stoma and I was going to find out all the things that are possible with a stoma. And I decided that I was just going to start saying yes to everything. And one of the things I decided to say yes to was doing a triathlon, which is something I'd always wanted to do, but never had the confidence or the courage to do it before I had the baby. But because I'd basically survived almost a near-death experience, I thought, well, it can't be that bad doing a triathlon. So then I went and joined the triathlon club, and that's when I went back into swimming. The first time I went, actually, somebody mentioned this to me from the Tri Club only about 2 months ago. And of course, I'm doing a lot of training at the minute. And she said she remembers the very first time I went to the club. And she said I was wearing a black and white polka dot swimming costume that was ruched at the front. And she remembered thinking, that's really strange. Like, there's a new girl here. Why is she wearing a ruched polka dot swimming costume for a Tri Club swimming session? And I said, oh, yeah, I remember that. And that's what I used to wear, because the ruched effect at the front of the costume would hide the bag. And I was obviously really self-conscious about the bag. And also the polka dots, mm-hmm. that can hide your figure, if you like. It. So, I camouflaged myself. And it's really funny, because I'd forgotten that that's what I used to do, because I certainly don't do that anymore.
Because, of course, you know, I've seen the costume that you train in regularly now is the usual objections costume. So when did you kind of graduate, I guess, to that point? Because that's a huge jump from trying to camouflage, trying to hide, to being so confident and proud of yourself.
It was confidence, because I realised having a stoma didn't need to stop me from doing anything. But basically, during lockdown, I launched a positivity blog. Part of that, I wanted to do something to get me through winter, and I chose to wear nothing but a bikini for 3 open water swims a week for 8 months throughout the winter. And that was me actually getting my stoma bag out for the first time ever in my life in public on a beach in Northumberland, with a sign up saying I've got a stoma from having a baby. Basically give me some money for the Birth Trauma Association. And that worked, because I got over £10,000. It was then I sort of realised, actually, you know, I'm not ashamed to have a stoma bag. I'm not ashamed of my body. I'm not ashamed that this is what's happened to me as a result of having a baby. I don't think any of us should be ashamed of our body, no matter what we look like, because our bodies are still capable of doing incredible things. And that, it was kind of a bit more in your face physically than I would normally be. So the costume that you refer to, which has been custom made by Usual Objections, is one that I designed, which says have stoma, will swim. And there's actually a stoma bag shape around where my stoma bag is.
You found through your training, I think, that there's been quite a difference between pool swimming and sea swimming in terms of what you're able to do with your stoma.
So when I'm in the pool, I wear a drainable bag. So when I'm in the pool and my bag fills up, I have the option just to get out and go to the toilet, which can still be extremely irritating when you're in the middle of a set and you think, right, great, I'm just going to get out now and have a 5-minute break in the middle of whatever set you're doing. But you've got that option. So in terms of the channel, I'm just going to have my bag free draining all the time. But when I'm just in my local sea, you can't really do that, because obviously other people are there. So it's definitely very challenging. It's definitely an added element of stress that I have, but it's not a stress that's going to prevent me from doing it in the first place.
You've started training for the channel now. How has that kind of affected your relationship with your body now?
One of my passions is to encourage people with stomas to get back in the water, because I hear so many people with stomas say, oh, I love the water. I always used to swim, but I've never gone swimming since I had my stoma. And for me personally, being in the water of any description, but particularly the sea, is a place where you just feel free. There's no emails pinging in your ears. There's no kids asking for tea. There's no cats bringing in birds. You know, it's it's like a whole new world. And I just think it's such a shame that people are denying themselves that just because they've got a stoma. So this is like my really hardcore way of trying to say to them, if I can swim the channel, you can go to your local pool.
You are one of the most inspiring swimmers I know, and I cannot wait to see you become the first person with a stoma to cross the English Channel solo. So thank you so much for talking to me. Bye then.
Thank you.
Thanks, Amy and Jill. There's a longer version of this interview on the website, and you can find Jill on all social media platforms as Stoma Chameleon, and you can also find Amy as Amy Swims. Links are on the Swim Out website. Thanks both for sharing your stories, and also really good luck with your swimming challenges this year.
As Jill mentioned, she had a custom-made swimming costume created by Usual Objections, and Vicky went along to meet up with the team.
I'm just outside the Usual Objections shop in Hackney to find out about the fun handmade swimming costumes that they make and sell. Your swimming suit is the essential part of your kit, so if you've got one that you love, it's sure to help you feel good about yourself and your swim. Their costumes embody the concept of fun and joy, celebrating bodies of all sizes and a sense of doing something which is good. So I'm going to make my way inside to meet Linda and Rich, who set up the company in 2020. Hello, Linda. We're in the shop. Tell us a little bit about your swimming costumes.
Hi, Vicky. So, I'm going to show you some of our suits. We started off with the training suit. Uh-huh. And then quickly over the pandemic, as when we launched, we realised a lot of open water swimmers wanted not such a technical style, but a more casual style. So we did the scoop back suit, which is a more fashion type product. We then moved on to making some bikinis. And again, it's a more sporty style because all our swimwear is really for swimming. So we have the sporty tie back, and then we have the swim bikini trunks.
Nice.
And then we also have now men's trunks, so men are also catered for. And we have a mix of our own prints and then the colour block, but obviously always lots of colour.
They look great. I like this peacock one.
Yes.
And what's this one?
This one is the octopus. That's a real favourite. So lots of people love the octopus.
I like the octopus. That's good.
I like the human body. That was kind of one of my first favourites.
Let's sit down and have a chat then. Hello, welcome to Swim Out. Do you want to start by telling me why you wanted to make swimming costumes?
Oh, that's a good question. Do you want to go, Rich?
I think we were swimming a lot, like every day, and we'd been looking for sort of something to do work-wise that was more fulfilling. And at the same point, I think we realised we couldn't really find nice swimwear that we wanted to wear. And so that was the kind of genesis of it. I think with the right amount of hubris and naivety, we thought it would be quite easy. and as it turns out, it's been quite complicated. But we're getting there slowly.
And where did your name, Usual Objections, come from?
A lot of the sports brands is all kind of about armour and power, and I think actually for us in particular, but maybe most people, there's always that element of, you know, having to go get your stuff ready and it's raining outside, and I think there's something in that moment when you just go and do it anyway.
Yeah, also we didn't want to be super serious. We're not serious people, so we wanted a little bit of humour in our story as well. So I think it was about, yeah, not just overcoming your objections, but not being super serious as well. Just let's go out there and try things.
Oh, nice. So I know that you take the ethical and sustainable element of your business very seriously. Tell me a bit more about that.
Yeah. So when we started, we really were conscious that we wanted to make it in the UK because we didn't want to be, you know, adding to the carbon footprint. We tried to find a supplier in the UK, but really struggled just with the quality. The more we dug into it, you know, the more it became quite important to us. And so, you know, from our suppliers, finding suppliers that are doing things ethically and, you know, trying to find local suppliers, but sometimes having to compromise on that. For example, the fabrics we buy from Italy, because the quality unfortunately isn't good enough. So it's not just about a good, it's, you know, about the quality of what we're buying as well, not just the provenance. And we use polyester for our swimsuits because that is longer lasting. Also helps that it makes the colours pop a bit better. But we thought through everything, and, you know, from our packaging through to how we run the studio, we know we use green energy, we recycle everything. So I guess it's just important, and not just from a product and materials, but also from a people. We want to treat our people well, and, you know, we want them to be fulfilled in their jobs and have an opportunity to grow and develop their career. So working with the local community, that's also important. It's not, you know, we work with other businesses, we're part of the East End Trades Guild.
Basically, if you're starting a business now, like 2023 or whatever, or 2020, you know, if the environment, you know, and all the social and those issues aren't top of your, you know, your mind or whatever, then, you know, I just don't think it was morally right, you know, to start a business if it's just purely about the money. And, you know, like, I think there are so many issues now that you kind of want to be a part of the solution and not the problem, basically.
I think especially as swimmers, we're really exposed to it. You know, we swim in the sea and we can see, you know, the effect of like water pollution and damage. You know, it's so in your face, and it's kind of, if you're adding to that problem, then I just wouldn't feel comfortable.
You said on your website that you could bring your costume to be recycled. So I've bought my costumes.
That's great.
but what I want to know is what happens to them?
Yeah, so we use another company called First Mile. And what they do is they recycle all the textiles into post-consumer waste. So they use it for filler, so for cushions, for example. And they use it in industrial waste, effectively. They can reuse that for...
It's like building insulation,
yeah,
and
exactly.
It gets downcycled. At the minute, actually, it's very complicated with blended fibres to make more fibre with it. But there's a lot of, actually, really since the pandemic, there's been a real acceleration in the recycling technologies. And there's more and more companies that are getting really close to being able to truly recycle, not in a greenwashing way, but, you know, like where you put your swimsuit in a box and you can get another swimsuit back out effectively.
That's
close.
What I want.
Yeah,
we're
that
close,
would be great.
Because actually I've bought the suit that I swam the channel in, and I'm not sure I want to really let go of it in some ways, but I can't. It's completely... gone on.
So we do have one of our swimmers who's training for the channel, and her strap, she did one of the long swims and wore lots of Vaseline, and the Vaseline has damaged the elastic, but we've been able to replace the straps for her. So the swimsuit carries on. It has a life beyond. Yeah, that's important as well. So we try and repair as much as possible rather than throw away.
That sounds amazing. So on your website, you talk about the Japanese word shokunin. I said that right?
Mm-hmm.
Tell us a bit about it and how it resonates with your work.
The general principle is that instead of just producing loads and loads of stock, which then sits on a shelf, you're basically making things on demand. From the craft side, it was really about when we started to try and do this business, we realised there's actually no one left to learn from in this country in terms of, you know, the sewing and how you make swimwear and working with stretch. And we were told actually that you're probably not going to be able to do it. And so what we want the business, a part of it, to be about is to bring some of that rag trade back to Hackney, but in an ethical and sustainable way, and just to prove that we can still make things here, you know, and we can do it well, because we used to make loads of stuff here.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
And I guess with shokunin, it's all about, you know, refining and honing your craft, which is, I guess, what we're doing, right? We're constantly learning. And, you know, we started off with one machine, didn't quite know how to use it. Rich has spent 3 years trying to perfect that machine. So it's just constantly improving, iterating and learning, making mistakes and learning and doing it again.
What I need for competing is a tight suit. And because I've got a bigger bust, I need to be held in. Are your suits able to do that?
What we have done on occasion is we can customise the block specifically if there are issues with fit and somebody's in the shop. We can make changes to better accommodate those variations.
Yeah, so the fabric, we use a compressive liner, so it should be holding you in. We've thought about the strap at the back, so we've got reinforced butt stitching to keep everything in place. That's the training suit, that is. And also the scoot back scoot is also a compressive liner, and the raise at the back is slightly higher to give you a bit of hold. But yeah, again, it is personal preference. I like everything small and tight. Other people like it loose. I would say try it on.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, well, maybe I'll give that a go. I'm upstairs now with Katya. So what are you doing, Katya?
Hi. So I'm currently making a trunk for a customer, and I'm working on these two patterns just to pick which one is going to be best for him. And so one is just have the front side and the back side with the separate lining, and the other one is just one safe pattern which have the side seam. And then, yeah, it's going to be in red. We just need to confirm with the customer, actually, but I probably think that it's going to be in red with the aqua minty lining inside with orange stitching on. Yeah.
Looks fantastic. Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you.
What makes you feel good about making these costumes?
For me, I love it when people come in and say, I love this costume. We have one person who was like, I love your costumes, but I could never wear it. We said, well, just come in and try it. And she tried it, and I saw her at the pool, and her bum looked amazing. And I was like, look, you looking amazing. And she said, I feel so good in my suit. And I think that's, for me, the things that, you know, just seeing people that are happy and coming back and buying again.
So we're trying to start to, you know, to offer like a custom service if people can come in. And also just to offer this thing, you know, like a lot of the shoemakers have it where once they've got the block of your foot, you know, the mould, you can kind of just come in and have pay the normal price, but have like a custom suit for you. You know, if there's a particular print you liked and we don't do it anymore, you can still get the print. You know, like for me, you know, like it's much easier to go and go for a run or go for a swim when you're putting on your new shoes that make you feel really good.
So thanks very much for having me. It's been a lot of fun.
Thank you. Really nice chatting to you.
Now maybe I'll try on a suit.
Woohoo!
Yay!
Did you get a custom suit made, Vicky?
I did. And it's gorgeous, a perfect fit, and I love it. You can check out all the designs by going to usualobjections.com or following them on Instagram, Facebook, and indeed TikTok.
How wonderful to have a swimsuit that helps you feel great. Unfortunately, there are times when people don't feel so good. I caught up with Jamie Hooper, who swims with Blue Mind Men, a mental health swim for men in Lake Windermere, up in Cumbria, where I'm from. And I started by asking him why he swims with a group and what he gets from it.
Thanks for having me. It's really nice to be here. I started swimming with Blue Mind Men almost a year and a half ago, actually, from it was January 2022. I moved up to the Lake District after a bit of a stint in London, kind of middle COVID, start a new business, escape to the end of the country as far away as I could from everyone. And through a mutual friend, actually Vicky from the podcast, introduced me to another friend who just moved up this way from London. Johnny, with one of his friends, Gilly MacArthur, they were getting together with a different man every day in January last year as a bit of a mental health project to introduce them to cold water and grow a bit of a group from that. So after they finished the month in January, the group Blue Mind Men then emerged from that and has been going every Sunday morning at Rayrig Meadow at Windermere ever since.
And what is it that you get, you know, what made you keep going? I know a lot of people, they get into it and they go, gosh, this is gold. I don't want to get in again. It's not for me. But what made you, you know, what do you get out of it?
Yeah, I mean, well, right now it's like getting in a bath. It's pretty warm getting in the lake, but the cold water stuff is so different to anything else you'll experience. So that was my very first time getting into cold water. That time with Johnny, I think it was like the water was 2 degrees, like air temperature was like zero. But it's amazing when you just take it slowly, concentrate on your breathing, what you can achieve by kind of pushing yourself through that pain barrier, which sounds crazy when you say that out loud, but when you do get through it and you feel those benefits of the bits I always talk about are like when you feel cold on the inside and when your skin is on fire and when you can't not just laugh and smile and be like, this is crazy, but we love it. But I can't not smile talking about it now. It's that feeling is just so amazing of almost resetting your body. It's like a real cleanse. And I always have like a bit of a real moment, especially putting my head under the water, because that kind of cleansing feeling of just like, it's like you're washing from the inside out. That's how I kind of think about it.
Has it made you, you know, become more of a daily or, you know, as many times as you can?
Yeah, definitely. So it took me a while to go a second time after that first one. But once you kind of get through that barrier and like there's all those little steps of, okay, right, I'm going to do the first one on my own or with a bigger group, or I think I'm in three or four swimming WhatsApp groups now. There's always someone up for a swim.
Do you get the shivers a lot? Do you, you know, is your whole body do that? Because I don't tend to. So I know there are a lot of people around me. I'm often helping them get dressed.
Yeah, not too much. I'm generally pretty good. We swim with a lot of people who have, who kind of do get shivers or have Raynaud. So that can sometimes take them a little while to warm up. But we've got our own little like warm up dance routines now.
I run a mental health swim once every month. That's about getting in the water, getting out of the house. But of course, you know, I'm a complete advocate for cold water and what it does. And it's funny when you tell a lot of people, you know, try it. They're like, no, I hate the cold. But there's something, like you say, you can't help but smile. You can't help, you know, when you get out of the water, the way you feel like you can take on the world that day. You know, it just really...
Yeah. And there's definitely something in that community bit when you're doing it in a group. You're all doing this ridiculous, stupid, crazy thing together. And some people will go so far. And like, well, I know from the group where we've swam that where people have been for the first time, people kind of gather around or they'll kind of gradually walk you in holding your hands. And people will say afterwards, oh, I really appreciate that. I just needed a bit of a... Because you've got to push through that barrier a little bit. So with a bit of gentle encouragement, some people really, really appreciate that. And can, it's so amazing what you can achieve when you're really in that moment. But there's something so meditative about that moment where you're so cold that all you can do is focus on breathing because that's all you can think about. And, oh my God, this is cold.
It's the here and now, isn't it?
Yeah, it just brings you right into that central moment. And when you get through that, when you can start to ease the breath a little bit, there's something just so special about it. Yeah. There's so many times, especially with the Blue Mind group, kind of stood on the end of that jetty thinking, I don't want to do this. Why am I doing this? This is so stupid. You jump in and 3 seconds later, you're thinking, this is amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And do you feel like it improves, like, has it improved your, well, let's say your life, not even your well-being, but, you know, do you think, the cold water swims, the open water swims, the community is actually, you know, improved more than just your, you know, yeah, your well-being.
Yeah, 100%. Like the main reason why I moved up here to kind of get away from everything was to, a huge part of that was about building that connection with nature again and kind of the outdoors. And I think I went Friday morning last week. You start your day like that when there's no one else around, the lake is flat. All you can hear is the birds. Like it's, you've got, it's the biggest lake in the country. You get that whole space to yourself. You feel like you're in it alone. It's just incredible.
Thanks for taking the time to chat with us. And yeah, I hope when I come up, I'm coming up to Cumbria in August, I'll give you a bell and maybe we can have a swim.
Absolutely welcome. Every Sunday morning, 9 o'clock, Rayrigg Meadow at Windermere. Everybody's welcome. We get quite a lot of guests along to Blue Mind Men. Whatever time you go down to the lake at the moment, there's people swimming.
You can follow Blue Mind Men on Instagram or just turn up at the lake, and we have the full interview at swimout.net. Let's see how our listeners swim themselves happy.
This is Chaz in Phnom Penh. I swim here at this 25-metre open-air pool on the riverside, and it makes me feel good because it gives me energy, it lets me clear my mind. And I'm also surrounded by beautiful palm trees, frangipani trees, watching river life on the Mekong.
My name's Una, and I swim mostly at the West Reservoir in North London. I love swimming there because sometimes it's sunny and sometimes it's raining, sometimes it's windy, it's always different. And sometimes there's swifts flying over your head. And sometimes there's kids in boats in the other half of the water screaming their heads off and having fun. All in all, it's just a wonderful place to be and there's lots of very happy people.
I'm Tita. I'm originally from Finland but live in London for a long time now. I don't really know why I like swimming in open water. I always have. But I guess I'm the happiest when I'm swimming in Finland in the big lakes and there's a sauna at the end of the swim waiting for me.
My name is Nacho Díaz Crespo, an open water swimmer born and raised in Zaragoza in Spain. I cannot say when I started swimming, but I know it was indoors. Then I swam my first race in the river and I felt the connection with nature. Since then, I combine indoors in the winter season and outdoors in the Mediterranean and in the Atlantic Ocean in summer. As an energetic person, swimming helps me to control my anxiety and daily stress. By swimming, we follow a rhythmic breathing pattern, just like relaxation exercise. Nowadays, I cannot live without open water swimming.
Get in touch with the Swim Out podcast on Facebook and Instagram.
Angela Jones, fondly known as the Wild Woman of the Wye, is a passionate swimmer with a River Wye flowing through her veins. She swims in its beautiful water and guides others as they discover the wonders of the river. She's also a passionate protector of the river and a very active environmental campaigner who can be seen and heard often on film, television and radio. So hello, Angela. So good to have you on Swim Out today.
And thank you very much for inviting me.
We're talking all about how swimming makes you feel good. So tell me a bit first about the River Wye and why it's so special to you.
Well, the Wye, we've all got particular places that we really love and we connect with. And the Wye just warms my heart.
Tell people a little bit about the River Wye, because I have swum in it once, actually.
It's 155 miles long, and it starts in the beautiful Cambrian Mountains, which is in Mid Wales. And then it flows all the way down to Chepstow and then into the sea down at Chepstow. It can be quite moody and unpredictable, and then it can be ever so serene and calm and exciting.
And how did you first get into swimming in the Wye?
I used to run away quite a lot as a child and sleep out on the riverbank and swim in the river. And I remember the careers officer saying to me one day, Angela, what would you like to do when you leave school? And I said, a life of adventure and water. And she turned around and she said, well, that's not going to pay the bills, is it? And I couldn't understand that mentality. 40 years ago, I was known as eccentric and crazy. Now I'm fashionable, and I find that quite strange.
You also run swimming holidays now for people. Can you tell us a bit about the holidays that you run and the trips?
Well, I started Swim Wild and Run Wild over 10 years ago, where I introduced people to the beautiful outdoors, particularly the Wye. I take them wild swimming, wild camping in bivy bags. I take them kayaking. And I just show them how to connect with the environment around them.
So you were an international triathlete, though, weren't you, in your 30s?
So I did 22 years of international competing. I just went in to do a running race over a mountain. Finished, and they said, do you want to go to Alaska in 2 weeks? You've qualified for the World Championships. And it was like, whoa, I just thought of the environment, different place to swim, different wildlife.
So how did you get into your environmental work?
Well, I've got two children, two beautiful children. When you give birth to a child, you become a guardian for that child's life. And I feel exactly the same about nature. It's there to be protected. So I go into the water because I've got an invitation into the water. I spend a lot of time below the surface of the water and I monitor the aquatic life. But when I first started noticing a difference in the texture and the taste of the Wye, I had to find out what was going on. So because I'm so connected with it, I could taste it. And I was thinking, right, this section doesn't taste right. So I'd stay there at night and realise that stuff was being pumped in at night. I was writing to MPs and I was writing to people saying, look, this doesn't taste right. I'm noticing a difference in the wildlife. No one was really listening to me. So I was just like brushed off as a middle-aged menopausal woman.
What do you do practically that helps care for the river?
In the beginning, like I said, nobody was listening to me. So I thought I have to bring awareness through. You bring awareness to people when you make it not exciting, but when it's in their face and they can't ignore it. So like a mother, I was feeling like bereaved because I was losing my river. and I wanted to bring attention. So I got hold of a coffin and I towed a coffin down the Wye. And then I thought the Wye has had an influx of chickens and intensive poultry units. So we got 24 million chickens. All that manure goes off and into the water. Then I had a massive egg box made and I towed that down the Wye. And I'm thinking, people still obviously thought I was crazy, but it was getting attention. And then I realised data is key. I met up with some scientists and things. They trained me up to how to use some testing equipment. And then I started testing. And then I realised I had to grow this as big as I could. So I, maybe 40 hours a week I'm on it now, where I train up volunteers. So I teach them all the different algaes, but I teach them how to use it. So we look in for nitrates, phosphates, conductivity and water temperature. Put those four things together, you've got an idea what's going on in that water.
Right.
And then the media started picking me up. And then I got invited to Westminster. Aggression never brings progression, but persistence does. And you're a swim sister like myself, and there's many out there like us. We know the health benefits of open water swimming. We know it's increased by over 300% in the last 3 years. We know people are just throwing themselves in willy-nilly. And the health of the river complements our health. So that whole circle of not cross-contaminating, you know, making sure our costumes are clean, making sure the wildlife is not disturbed, or we're not knocking the rocks as we go in with the salmon. All of that is part of wild swimming.
What do you think people can do to safeguard their own swimming spots?
All through my campaigning, I found wild swimmers are the most difficult to get on board with helping to bring awareness. I get hardly anyone stepping up and saying, what could I do? And testing water, you know, it's something that only takes 15 minutes of your time. I've put about £20,000 into this. For 2.5 years, I've withheld my sewage payment. If they give me the service that they're supposed to provide, that payment's there. But obviously, I've made Panorama, Tonight Programme, all those programmes. And again, I will say, I haven't had a penny for anything that you ever see me in. If I can hold them to account and I can put so much of my effort into trying to save my patch, I would really love through this podcast for anyone to listen and go, right, yes, water is life. Just change those little things. Ooh, maybe I will form a little group or see if there's any little groups going by me where I can test water. You know, it doesn't matter how small it is. It's something, and nature would really appreciate that from us.
Thank you, Angela, for talking to us, and it would be great if any listeners could join her in testing their local water. You can find out more about the Wild Woman of the Wye by going to her website, Swim Wild Wye, or following her on Facebook, Instagram, or indeed YouTube.
We'll be back in a few months, when Vicky and Amy are going to discuss their big swims and how they trained for them. So make sure to join us.
Thanks, Amy, for your contribution today. I can't wait to work with you again. Mikey, thanks for everything. Mikey and I would like to dedicate this episode to A.D. Brown, a channel swimmer who died suddenly last month.
Yeah, he was a true inspiration to many, with such a great love for the sport and those in it.
He was such a happy soul, and really will be missed by so many swimmers.
So swim out and swim safe, everybody. Bye.
Bye.